Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Our message today comes from Isaiah, and I'd like to reread just the first couple of verses. It shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills. And all the nations shall flow to it, and many peoples shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. This is God's word. Over 300 people have lost their lives attempting to conquer Mount Everest. 300. Over 200 of them still lie lifeless on that mountain. Their bodies remain permanently resting where they took their last breath. It's quite simply too dangerous to retrieve them. And so they lay to this day where they fell. These were men and women with tremendous strength, tremendous skill, who spent a lifetime preparing for this single challenge. Prepared, motivated, they set out with the confidence that they were good enough, strong enough, to achieve what few others could, only to be overtaken by the limitations of their own bodies and the unforgiveness of nature's wrath. 300 strived and failed. Now, of course, some climbers do reach the top, but even those people, they don't do it on their own. Every ascent depends on things like bottled oxygen, ropes that have been placed and fixed before them, ladders that have been put there by others, Sherpas who carry their supplies to the camps. No one climbs the mountain unaided. No one reaches the summit by their efforts alone. Every success depends on borrowed strength. Yet, even those who do reach the top, the mountain gives nothing back. It grants no life, gives no lasting peace. Only a brief moment on a mountain ridge that must be descended. Everest may be conquered by few, but it quite simply saves no one. What is the use of climbing Mount Everest? Somebody asked. Someone who has successfully climbed that mountain. He continues, it's of no use. What we get from this adventure is just sheer joy. And joy is, after all, the end of life. A lifetime of preparation, of training, formation. A lifetime spent with one single goal in mind. And those who have realized the success find that what they have chased after, what they have cheated death for, is meaningless, void. This is a mountain of empty promises, of false hope. It's a summit that cannot satisfy. Now, in our Old Testament passage, Isaiah shows us a very different kind of mountain It's the mountain of the Lord, a mountain that is not ascended by human strength, but descended by the one who gives life. And on this mountain, no fleeting earthly joy awaits, but heavenly promises and a confident hope. It does not leave its dead behind. Instead, it conquers death itself. And, for all who believe, raises the dead to new life. God the Father didn't demand that we climb to Him, for He knew that that would be futile for anyone who even thought to try. Instead, He sent down His Son, His own Son, to dwell among the lowly. Our Lord Jesus Christ did for us what we could not do. He descended from heaven so that He could ascend, not a mountain, but an altar where He would lay down His life for all mankind. This is the God we worship. This is the one that calls us to the mountain and then brings us up to Him. These two mountains, they cannot be more opposite. And this is where Isaiah confronts us on this first Sunday of Advent. God calls us to this mountain, but oftentimes we still try to climb a different one. We build our own Everests. We trust our own strengths and our own abilities. And you know what? We know this. We all know this. We're all Christians here. We've all been baptized into Christ. We all have the Holy Spirit. We have faith that tells us the mountain of this world is a mountain to be rejected. That's why we gather here on Sunday, to be reminded of that. We are called by Jesus to the mountain of the Lord. We know this. But where we fail is in thinking and continuing to think that we must climb it ourselves. This is the problem we have. And so as we enter into the season of Advent, I challenge you to contemplate this problem in your own life. Your mind tells you that Jesus has come down and prepared a way for you, and He will carry you up the mountain. You know that He returns, and when He returns, He will carry you up it. You know that on the last day, He will not even stand on the summit, but He will come down one final time and live and dwell with us in bodies that He has raised from the dead. You know this. Your mind knows this. But what does your heart tell you? Does it tell you that on the last day, He will not stand at the summit, but come down to you? To you. Does it tell you that you are the one that He will raise from the dead? That you are the one that He will bring to the place He has prepared for you? Does it tell you that your death is undone, swallowed up, and conquered once and for all? You see, this season is for you. Take advantage of it. Reteach your heart what your mind already knows. That the Lord, who once descended in humility, will descend again in glory, coming not to judge you from a summit, but to lift you up, to lift you up into eternal life with Him. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, You are the mountain that draws us. You came down in humility to save us, and You will come again in glory to raise us and bring us home. Turn our hearts away from trusting our own strength and fix our hope on Your grace alone. As we enter this Advent season, teach us to watch, to wait, to walk in Your light until the day You gather us to Yourself. For You live and reign with the Father and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.